Hope is tremendously important. I really believe that we have time and that we can save ourselves. And that goes, I think, for almost any issue. I really, really believe in hope, whether we're dealing with anti-racism, whether we're dealing with inclusivity for everyone, marginalized, anyone marginalized. My big issue right now, I think they're all important altogether, but this book, Ordinary Light, is about the importance of clean air. So remember those 11 days in, I think it started in 2017 when the smoke from the forest fires was coming over Vancouver, and we got to see some of the consequences of our lifestyles with and climate change and accelerated forest fires and the smoke. I remember aching for ordinary light, like for that moment when an ordinary blue sky would come back. And when it did, I was so grateful for ordinary light, an ordinary blue sky, an ordinary yellow sun. And so, what I'm really passionate about right now is protecting those as much as we can, however we can, and not to go off and live on an island by ourselves where we're not going to use any electricity, but to be aware, where does electricity come from? How much, do we need? How can we live as simply as possible? And so my book, Ordinary Light, is about state as much as I like to meet people locally. I think it's fine to take the ferries are already running. So, okay, go hop on a ferry and go meet people. But I tend to try to keep my life as simple as possible, but appreciate the extraordinary, amazing beauty that's all around us all the time and to learn that that's enough. So, climate action is really important to me in a hopeful and respectful way.
Are you involved with children at all, expressing themselves through writing and getting involved, leading their voices to climate improvement or saving the climate?
Absolutely. And at Delta Literary Arts Society, I gave a children's workshop, and I was so filled with hope from the children who took it. They amaze me. Children are so magical to me. They come from that magical, mystical place of purity and innocence. And I was just in awe of the kids who took my workshop, and obviously the parents who raised such amazing kids. But one of them, I bring in a sand dollar all the time for my sensory writing workshop, and people touch it and feel it and hold it. And one of the little 10-year-old boys who took my class said, he told me a story about how the last time he saw they were on an island in Victoria covered in sand dollars, and he said how carefully he walked, trying not to step on them. I thought, the younger generation is so wise and so aware, and more aware. I consider myself an activist for nature, but more aware than I probably was at that age.
And
So.
truly, a lot of some young children are great advocates and speak up for the planet or speak up to waste. So I think that having an activity like poetry or painting for them to do gives, greater opportunities for expression and support, and to not feel like you're odd, but to feel like you're making a contribution to life, are still sustaining life here.
And I really think that we can learn from each other. I find it's very interesting. Like, I was brought in as the poet to help teach the kids, but really, I go home with the kids having taught me how gently they're living, not to step on a sand dollar, not to take rocks from the beach because the rocks belong at the beach and they can remember them. They are so wise. So many kids now are so wise and living, and like you said, and really. Simply in the sense that we don't have to consume everything, but with deep and meaningful appreciation for it. Oh, and one of the children in the workshop was telling me all the little bugs that live in a piece of moss. I'd brought in a piece of moss that had to be moved. It was on my balcony and it had to be moved anyway. But he was like, and he was so sweet. He's like, it's okay that you moved this one. It's already been done. It's okay that you moved this one. But he was thinking of all the worlds inside the moss and what it would do to them if we moved it. I thought, yeah, and I had brought the piece of moss, and it did have to be moved off the balcony. So I brought it in so we could touch it. But I thought the next generation is so in tune with how to live very gently with nature and with the natural world. And that gives me tremendous hope. And I think we can always learn from each other as people. We're just learning, right? Like someone taught me how to compost, so now I compost and Vancouver composts. And I love that about Vancouver. So we're
Right, and I
learning.
love what my grandmother taught me how to make preserves. Like they preserved as tomatoes, you know, season came in. She and an auntie would get together and they would just do everything, the seasoning, whatever it took to do the canning. They knew the right temperatures, they knew the right things. And some of those things that they were showing me are still there locked in the back of my head. You know, there was a point when I was a teen when I was making tomatoes and stuff to go. To put up for the wintertime. Some of the things, there's some people that have said that the young kids now listen a lot to the people that are in the baby boomer generation because they have a similar experience of so much change happening within their lifetimes. And then that they often will sit and have the patience to listen to grandpa, grandma, uncle's stories. And I have had been surprised when I've done writing exercises with children, the stories they tell, some of the stories are things I thought, well, this is from another, how are they aware of that, you know? But it is, I think. Like you're talking about this program that's going to be happening, and it's welcoming grandparents, it's welcoming older people. But for older people to feel like, yes, there are children who do want to hear their stories. Because I've been in this put down thing sometimes where people say, oh, nobody wants to hear that. That's all old people stuff. For 3 years, I worked with a podcast program for the 411 Senior Center, and we had people speak from their reservoirs of knowledge. And came to have a greater respect for there is so much knowledge, there's so many stories, and to create opportunities for people to tell those stories because within it there's a formula. It might not be the exact same thing, but the principle, like not stepping on sand dollar, but also looking where you're walking when you're doing other things, because there might be something that's vital to your life that you just step on because you know you weren't watching or feeling the little sound something might have made when you squished it.
You hit on
Where
something huge, Charlotte. Like the importance, the importance of all the knowledge that elders hold and the elders sharing that knowledge because that's what the world needs. And that's actually
Yes.
my book is about that. It starts with my grandparents, our great grandparents, our grandparents, the knowledge we have from them. Children need it, the future needs it. And those are the two threads, I think, like elders and children. Everybody's
Yes.
important, but the knowledge that elders have, getting that to children, that is essential. So elders need to come forward with their knowledge.
And that's been my experience. I went to a second grade class and I bought a book about Rosa Parks. And the kids were so fascinated. Then my grandson said, oh, my Nana was involved in some of the marches. And they thought, you were in the marches where people were getting hit. And they were just sitting fascinated. And every going into a school, if you go into a school with a minister's hat on, they'll say, you know, we have to have separation of state and whatever, and you can't do any prayers. But going in as a poet, I have sat with kids. The teacher is so happy somebody's there. They're going, I've sat with my hands over my heart, and the kids having their hands over their heart, just feeling, you know, feeling and having a sense of gratitude, because gratitude is not a religious word. Gratitude is a state of mind and a state of feeling. And just to see kids expressing gratitude and feeling free to do that, I think writers should find themselves opportunities to visit schools. The library, something you mentioned about Vancouver Public Library that I think is wonderful for emerging writers to know. You can register a book with them, you can register a self-published book. There are some libraries that I in other places that don't take in books that are self-published books. They also have a cart. I noticed a little cart in the Vancouver Public Library, and it was a cart and it was local self-published authors where you could either check out an audio tape or you could check out a book. So I want to say hooray for the Vancouver Public Library system for making it possible for new writers to not have to go through all of that expense. If they have something that whoever the creek you know, receiving committee, if they could see it's a book, it makes sense. Whatever, they have a system where I think it just makes life very hopeful for and encouraging. And I think once somebody gets maybe a self-published book in the library system, then they're more encouraged to find a publisher or to work with a co an association. There's some associations here as well that the association publishes a book or a zine, Z-I-N-E. Are you familiar with or have you worked with any people doing zines?
I love zines and I love the Vancouver Public Library and also the Burnaby Library and all so many libraries in BC take self-published stuff. And every library in BC, if you go on and through Canada as a writer, if you go on their website, most of them have a form for self-published authors that you can
Yes.
fill out. And sometimes your books get in, sometimes they don't. Also, if anyone wants to read my book, it is in the Burnaby Public Library and the Vancouver Public Library and most public libraries in on the Lower Mainland. And writers get paid when our books are taken out. Whether you're self-published or traditionally published as a writer, you can apply for public lending rights. Anyone who's a writer listening, Google public lending rights in Canada. And you can apply, and for every library that your book is in, major library, you get a little bit of money once a year. So I
I
always
think
encourage
people
people.
know that, because it gets so many, people get so much discouragement. So I'm happy that you passed along that people get paid when people check out their books. You could tell your friends, go and check out
And
my book. Maybe the
it's not
library,
like
there's a lot of requests, they'll buy more copies.
Like they don't, it's not like for every single time it's checked out, you get this much money, but you get, I think, about $60 a year for every major library that happens to be sampled that year, and it comes in February. And also, I like to encourage people to sign my books out of the library because, as much as I love selling them, I also love the idea of sharing one resource. You know, one book is made in the factory, and a whole lot of people can read it. So we a little, it's a little bit less, you know. Talk like a little bit more about living simply, and I think libraries give us that opportunity. I also love book sales, but I just want people to know it helps us so much when they sign our books out of libraries. And yeah, if you're a self-published author, go to the Vancouver Public Library, go to the Burnaby Public Library, and bring in your book that was released in the past 2 years, and fill out the form.
I mentioned zines and you were familiar with them. Tell people who might not have heard of it or who wonder, what is a zine?
So I've been a fan of zines. You might have to help me, Charlotte. Are they kind of self-published art with both pictures and words? Oh, I was just looking at Carte Blanche website. It's a Montreal journal, and they have a ton of zines. They have zines on their website, and they accept comics as part of their publishing. I was just sending a piece of fiction to them, and I noticed they have zines. So zines are like self-published art, and really cool. Like, just really cool. Like, so many are on really cool, important issues right now, contemporary issues, and they're for adults usually, I think. But
I
where they.
would. I visited a library museum in Los Angeles, the African American Museum, and they had books on Kwanzaa, but they had a zine making activity for the parents and the children, and they showed how you fold. It's an art to folding the paper in a way that when you turn it, they're all you can have 16 pages. You can have a number of pages. So I thought it was such an excitement between the parents and the kids making it, and they had the supplies and the materials. So I thought that was another way that the library was serving the community, because some people make zines about particular issues around health, or zines about culture, or zines about women's issues. See, just a broad range of things that, and these kids were like kindergarten to third grade, that whose parents had heard they were going to have that activity and came, and they just had you could use different types of materials to put together. They had yarn, they had felt, they had wood, they had paper, they had magazine paper. So just really showing that you could make this little individual. It's a non-published. It doesn't have to go through the publication system, but it is a publication that people can make as an organization or as an individual.
That is amazing. I love that all ages creating together on issues that matter and their unique voices. And yeah, and just making them locally. I love things that are locally produced and small print runs. And a small print run being like maybe there's 80 copies, or maybe someone photo they they're photocopied usually and handed out to friends and peers. And then there are some literary journals that you can take pictures of it and send the pictures to a literary journal that might print it
Yes.
as well. And again, magazines, like, I mean, the Vancouver Public Library probably carries some stuff like that. I mean, I've seen things, and we met at Word Vancouver where we saw lots of tables covered in zines. What a cool idea.
You're listening to Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We will be right back after a short break.
Thank you.
Up, Listen Up, Act Upon. We now return to Sister C's conversation with Cynthia Sharp. Enjoy.
Well, we've heard about the value of senior centers, writers' clubs, the libraries. Is there anything that we missed in what contributes to our literary world that you'd like to mention?
I don't think so, but just one more shout out to, I hope lots of people, especially seniors, come to our event on July 26th at Berkeley Manor. I'm just grateful for community and sharing and people from all different backgrounds getting together to learn from each other.
And
thank you, Charlotte, for this opportunity to get to talk with you.
Yes, I thought I was going to see if you wanted to do one other poem, and I had a poem that I might share if I can find it. yes, did you want to share another of your poems in closing out this hour? And you had, I asked you, among the people that you promote and you encourage musicians. You encourage musicians to get their work out. You've worked with a musician to put music for one of your poems or your books. Would you like to share that poem? And then we will see if we can locate it in our treasury of music at CJSF. We'll play it. If not, you can just tell us about it.
Okay. So I'll start by telling you about my friend Nicole Schofield, who's a violinist and one of my supporters. I'm her supporter. She's my supporter. She's in quite a few local bands like the Wheat and Barley and Red Hot Strings. And I was telling her about a story I was writing about 10 years ago. I was on the phone talking to her about my story, The Magic Glasses, which is on SoundCloud. And she started singing to me over the phone. And she's like, I should record Nick's song for you. The song is called Oh Storyteller. And I'm hoping we might get to play it. You might get to hear it right here on Charlotte's show. And if not, you can look up Cynthia Christine on SoundCloud and hear Nicole Schofield and Victor Smith perform a really nice song written by our friend Nick. Another friend, it's called Oh Storyteller. And it's to go with all my poems and stories. So my last poem I'll share is a collaboration in the sense that Bowen Island artist Jilly Watson and I hit it off at an event. We were at a community event together. Oh
just
no. Can you hear me now?
Just a little louder.
Okay, just a little louder, but okay. Sorry about that. So celebrating collaboration, I was early for an event at Bowen Island, and I met a wonderful artist, Jilly Watson. And I, on the spur of the moment, I handed her my book, Rainforest and Russet, and she called me up a few days later and said I painted the whole book. They had me over for dinner. And, wow. And her husband said, maybe you could write to all her paintings. And so I did.
Wow.
So this poem, Evergreen Altar, is written to a Jilly Watson painting. And you have to look up Jilly Watson artist. She's a gorgeous painter. And my poem is called Evergreen Altar. Stay focused and strong in the saffron night. Ashes sprinkled in soft trunks of naturally fallen cedar. A realm of rose highlights sparkling in aurora borealis. Shadows won't catch you if you beam toward radiance, no longer manipulated by misguided obligation to enter any murkiness not meant for you. Inhale the auspicious candescence, infused with the scent of conifer, a candle along a pomelo path to your inner child. Stream along starlit stones in forest soil, through blood vessel rivulets to dissolution, the return to nothing, reborn in light. Arteries pulsating, universe creating, destination in sight. Flow to the heart, the inner transcendence of trees, a rapt mummy in womb time bliss to eternity, one with the altar of earth.
Wow. One with the author of Earth. Oh, what a phenomenal thought. Thank you for being here phenomenally with us, one with nature, one with gratitude, one with people, One, Cynthia Sharp, who I am so grateful has taken time out of her busy schedule to be our guest. We are going to possibly hear one of the selections of a friend of ours. And before I say goodbye, I want you to again tell people how to see contact you.
Oh, what a good question. I have a website called The Zen of Poetry. So if you Google The Zen of Poetry, you can find me. That's the best way, I think. And you can find my books in any public library in Canada. If you Google Cynthia Sharp, you'll find my books. If you Google
Oh.
Cynthia Sharp Poet, you'll definitely find me because there are a lot of other great Cynthia Sharps too.
Okay, well, thank you, Cynthia Sharp, the only one to be with us at this time. And thank you for the way that you just continue not to be just about yourself, but touching people's lives, inspiring, and connecting. You know, my audience, I look forward to being with you again next week at 10. But you know what I say when you ask what time it is? I say it's always love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time, love time, poem time, love time, poem time, time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love. Wash the wounds, bind the lashes, and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, time for poems, poets, and singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time, time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words. Place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem time, times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time. Time for poems, poets, singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time.
Diverse, independent, yours. You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia.